This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
I caught up very recently with Marco Pierre-White, who's here doing Marco Week on MasterChef Channel 10. Last time we met, he was doing MasterChef Professionals, and I just asked, what is it about MasterChef that is so captivating?
There's lots of cooking shows in the world, and in my opinion, the greatest cooking show in the world is MasterChef Australia. It's the thought that goes into this show. It's the challenges which are created. It's the slickness of how it's made. No money is spared.
You worked with some of the best in the world. Talk me through some of those people you worked with.
I was with Albert Gavroche, Pierre Coffman at La Tante Claire, Nico, the great Nico at Chez Nico. And I was very fortunate to work as a boy, which was my first real opportunity, was the Box Tree in Ilkley in West Yorkshire, with the great Michael Lawson, who won 2 stars in Michelin. And then before I opened Harvey's, I went to work with Raymond Blanc at the Manoir de Quatre Saisons in Oxford.
How old were you when you first got your Michelin star?
So I was very fortunate that the gastronomic revolution in Britain started at the same time as I entered the industry. I saw the tail end of Escoffier's world, and I saw the beginning of the modern world. And so to have been part of that world, to have seen the golden age of gastronomy. No, it's, as I said to George Columbaris the other day, I think I may have even said it to the contestants, I can't remember. It means very little to me. Because when I look back on my life and I think of winning 3 stars in Michelin, if I'm really honest, what's it all worth when you're judged by people who have less knowledge than yourself?
The difference between journalists and bloggers, how do you feel about journalists and the way they treat the industry?
Let's be honest. If it wasn't for journalists, if it wasn't for radio, if it wasn't for TV networks, no one would ever have heard of us. So therefore, it's a double-edged sword. You know, without them, we wouldn't be the people we are. And so, you know, when somebody gives a quick slap, that's fine. It's one person's opinion. And that's what all chefs and restaurateurs must realize. It's one person's opinion.
Have you reached a pinnacle of your career? Is there a point where you can sit back and say, I've done all that I wanted to do?
The best bit of my job, without question, is inspiring the young. And that's what I like doing. Sharing my story, sharing my journey, sharing my knowledge. As I've always said, you know, cooking's a philosophy, it's not a recipe. You know, and I think if you can give back, because I think you get to that stage in your career where you have to give back. Because when you're young, you just look forward and you push and you push and you push and you want to realize your dream. And some of us are very fortunate that we do realize our dream. And then what you have to do is assist others, the young, in realizing their dream. It's guiding the young. That's my whole position within my industry today, is to inspire people.
Has there been somebody that you've worked with? Has there been an employee or somebody, a chef that you've grown to know and love, that you've worked with that you would say is your best protege?
Lots of people worked for me. And I can never make anybody a great cook. People make themselves great cooks. All I could do was give them 3-star discipline. So when they left me, whichever road they went down in their life, they took that 3-star discipline with them. So if they went to work on a film set running the catering, it'd be the best catering a film set's ever seen. If they opened up a fish and chip shop, it'd be the best fish and chip shop you'd ever seen. If they opened up a pub, you'd get the best pint. It's all about discipline.
Has that been the cornerstone of your success then? Is discipline the thing that has been the guts of what you do?
Without discipline, what is there? Because when you think of discipline, you turn up to work on time, you work hard, you're respectful, you do your job properly. That's what discipline does. Discipline is the key to success. It's like integrity is the key to longevity. And our careers do change, whatever career we're in. But an apple will roll away from a tree. Apples do fall from the tree, and they do roll a little bit away. And I'm not in the three-star world anymore, and the three-star world doesn't mean much to me anymore. I loved being part of it, but you know, I enjoy my job more today than I did when I was running three-star restaurants.
But when you are running those three-star restaurants, you're in the middle of that world where three-star restaurants are where you want to be. Isn't that the pinnacle of what you wanted to achieve? Isn't that sort of what you set out to do when you first became a chef? Isn't that where you wanted to be?
If you think about it, if I was running a three-star restaurant today, I couldn't come to Australia and do MasterChefs, the professionals. I couldn't do MasterChefs, the Marco Week with the amateurs. Why? Because I can never leave my kitchen. Chefs should never leave their kitchen. Because when you go to a restaurant and you're paying very big money for a three-star meal, then you want the chef in the kitchen.
Yes,
it's like, for example, we buy tickets to go and watch Elton John. Elton's in Japan, and we've got his number two singing the tunes and playing the piano. We're not happy. And so at that lower level, you put your brand on businesses, that's fine. But three-star is so special that you want, in a strange sort of way, metaphorically speaking, you want to taste the great man's or the great lady's sweat on the food. You want it to be touched by their hands. You want to see them, not necessarily talk to them, but see them. And one thing I would always do in my restaurant, every night at 7:30, I'd walk through the room and go to the reception. I'd walk back through the room to the kitchen. At 8:30, I'd walk through the room and back through to the kitchen. At 9:30, I'd walk through the room and back. So they knew I was in the house. They could see that my apron was dirty. They could see the sweat on my brow. They knew that I'd contributed to their dinner. It's all about integrity. And I think I refuse to pay those prices in a three-star Michelin restaurant when the chef's not behind the stove or in the house. That's me, though.
So tell me about, as you walk away from that, what does that all mean?
Well, life changes. I used to leave home every morning at 7 o'clock, 7:30, and my two boys were sleeping in their beds. I'd go home every night at 12, 1 o'clock. My boys were sleeping in their beds. The only time I saw them in the day is when their mother used to bring them in just before lunch service, sit them on the pass, and have an espresso in 10 minutes with me. And you know, you have to question why you do things. And when you've realized your dream, then you have to think, do I want to work 6 days a week, 50 weeks a year? And I remember that moment very well when I felt that I had three options. My first option was to continue working 6 days a week, all the hours. Retain my status. Be the king of my world. My second option was to live a lie, to continue to charge high prices, question my integrity and everything that I'd ever worked for. My third option was to ring the Michelin, to arrange a meeting and tell them that I am retiring from the stove. Please do not include me in your guide. It wasn't because you've got to let go of your status. And once you let go of your status, you've got to realize that you're unemployed tomorrow. You haven't got a job. And it's when I had that little thought in my mind that I was being judged by people who have less knowledge than me. That is what gave me the strength to hang up my apron, give back my stars, and walk down that lonely road unemployed.
Probably an extraordinary weight off your shoulders, I would imagine.
But also, what it did was it allowed me to grow emotionally. Because when you spend your life in a kitchen like I did, 6 days a week, sometimes seven, all the hours God sends, your emotional growth is minimal. Because all your energies go into your food, go into building your restaurant, realizing your dream. And so I retired at 38.
Yep.
And I'm a very different person today than I was then. My emotional and spiritual growth is enormous. My awareness of my environments and the world that I step in is far greater. I was almost tunnel visioned. And that may get you your dream, but you'll never find your happiness. Because hard work, without question, is the greatest painkiller known to man.
So let's talk about what you like to eat, Marco Pierwhite.
Simple, really, really simple. I went to Cutler and Co. the other night, and I had the most delicious Côte de Bœuf beef rib.
Yeah.
Sensational. I'm really sad that the PM24 is no longer here.
I loved his chicken.
I loved his gratin dauphinoise. I liked Philippe Michel. He was a great, great cook. Understated, lots of humility. And, you know, I was here for 3 months, and he really fed me really well. I like going to Ronnie D'Estasio's for lamb chops or a pasta fagioli and a nice little glass of red. I like going to Flower Drum for my Peking duck. Sensational.
Yeah.
Or Lau's Family Kitchen. I love it. And so I like straightforward, simple, honest food, done well. I like authenticity, I suppose. But I loved Cutler & Co. the other night. I thought that was really, really, really good.
Marco Pierwhite, I thank you for your time.
No, thank you very much. You're very kind. Thank you.
Now, that was a little bit clunky in places. I do apologize. It's very difficult when you sit down and have a coffee with somebody and there's noise in the background. And my voice was obviously a long way from my equipment. So a great chat with Marco Pierwhite.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.